It's time to talk Blazers with our favorite NBA guy, doing his thing for the Columbian. Check out his blog called Blazer Banter on the site Columbian.com. And yes, you can tie it into Twitter. Use the handle at Blazer Banter. We welcome in Eric Gunderson. Eric, always appreciate your time. How you doing these days?
Doing pretty good. It's a beautiful day up here in Portland.
Yeah, here too. I'm actually thinking if people are calling into this show, it's like, what the heck are you guys doing? Get outside and enjoy this. But we do appreciate you joining us. All right, I want to hit the rewind button. We all know what happened during this offseason, be it Aldridge bolting for the Spurs, the roster turnover, and maybe more of a thought about the future than this season. So the season opened against the Pelicans late in October. If somebody had told you with 2 weeks left, Portland would be over 500 and sixth in the West, what do you think you would have thought?
I would have just straight up told you I don't believe you. I didn't think this team was going to be that good. I thought they would be okay. I didn't think they were going to be Philadelphia-level bad or even Lakers-level bad. But I thought they were going to be somewhere kind of where, like, the Denver Nuggets are, like 31, 32, 33 wins maybe. But, I mean, where they are right now, it's pretty remarkable that they've come this far. I really can't believe it.
Another important issue this season has been C.J. McCollum. I remember around the All-Star break, Neil O'Shea said, you know, if CJ hadn't had injury issues, he would now be a three-year starter. I mean, last year he missed 20 games, barely active as a rookie. What were your logical expectations for CJ coming into this season? And when did you realize, whoa, this guy's legit?
You know, I thought CJ always had the potential to score the ball. He had shown that, but I was one of those people that would say, you know, maybe his natural role is probably to be a sixth man. And then he had that game against the Pelicans, but it was the games when Damian Lillard was out of the lineup and he took over as the starting point guard that really made me believe in what this guy could do as a star player. And it doesn't matter what position he's playing, if it's the one or the two, he's a star wherever he is. And I think that's the one thing that I've really learned about him, and this season has been remarkable, as you've said.
We're talking Blazers with Eric Gunderson of the Columbian. They don't play until tomorrow. I want to rewind again. The Sixer game Saturday night, they had lost that gut-wrencher at the Clippers on Thursday. On Wednesday, they had beaten Dallas. So 3 games, 4 days. Lillard was having all kind of problems shooting, 4 of 16, 6 of 20. I know he did play Monday night. Was there any logic to the thought that he was getting a little fatigued? And, you know, with 2 days off now, all okay with him moving forward?
No, I definitely think there was definitely some questions there about whether he should be playing. Can they rest him? I mean, you look around the league and you see the Thunder resting guys and the Spurs resting guys, but they're not in a position where they have that luxury. They have a chance to potentially catch Memphis for that fifth seed, and they also want to stay in the playoffs. I mean, there is a chance that they could also miss if they slip here. So the stakes are pretty high right now. So although it would be great for Damian, I'm sure, to get some rest, and I'm sure it would help his foot and all those things, I just don't think they have the luxury to rest.
Obviously, the rough news last week was confirmed. Myers Leonard done with the year, shoulder surgery. We'd seen Noah Vonleh start, then in the Dallas game, Mo Harkless. He has since. From what Terry Stotts is saying, and obviously you with a chair up close, what does the loss of Leonard mean, and how would you, I guess, evaluate that situation at forward the rest of the year?
The loss of Leonard was a big loss because although he started the season at power forward, I'm one of the people who have the opinion who says that he's better as a center. And he gave them a dynamic there against some of the better back-to-the-basket players. I know it's 2016. There's not a lot of those guys, but they do face those guys. And Myers was a guy that they used to kind of counter that. And now with their lineup the way it is, it's the best lineup that they've had all year, period. Not even just, you know, it is their best lineup. They're outscoring guys by 19 points per possession or per 100 possessions with Harkless and Aminu out there. And Aminu at power forward is kind of a master key of sorts. He unlocks so many different things with his spacing, and he can guard bigger players.
With so many new faces, there's always seems like a lot to evaluate right here. But the only real rotation regular who exclusively comes off the bench aside from Henderson is Ed Davis, who's a former lottery pick. He's only 26, signed a 3-year, $21 million deal. But if you look at his productivity, plays 20 minutes a game, that kind of a contract. Eric, how much of a great value and contributor has this guy been all year?
I mean, Davis has been incredibly productive. Other than Lillard and McCollum, I would say that he's been their most consistent player this season. And as you're saying, at that value, the consistency that you always have to be able to count on him. I mean, as a backup center, you would be hard-pressed to find anybody in the league that's just as good as he is. And he's been excellent, not just on the court, but in the locker room. He's a good veteran presence for them and kind of keeps things light.
You know, this is kind of another general question. Obviously, you're there, you're at the game, we watch at home, and you know how much that franchise means to that Portland community. The reaction, the way this crowd has, and the fan base there, has embraced this team, you think it's part because they didn't have any expectations, and they've kind of provided them with some thrills and maybe unexpected pleasurable moments there?
I think that, without a question, the fact that this team came in not expected to do much has kind of wrapped the city up into what's going on. I think it made them more attached to the way this team has played. I think they feel a little bit more of a connection to this team. Fans felt really connected to the teams that made the playoffs the last couple of years. I'm not going to say that it's on the same, but I think that it's something different, and there's something more special about this because it just happened all of a sudden again, and I think they really relate to kind of the battle that this team has been fighting all year.
Talking Blazers, Eric Gunderson of the Columbian. So the Celtics are in tomorrow night. Earlier this month in Boston, they just crushed. Isaiah Thomas had 30. It was a rough night for McCollum. It was their only meeting of the season. This matchup now getting 2 days off since the Monday win against the Kings. I guess what are the guys saying about the kinds of challenges Boston presents in what is a really important game?
You know, they know they can't turn the ball over and have a plus nine turnover differential like they did in the last game. They had 14, and it really got out of hand quickly. The Celtics were getting up and down the court, getting in transition, and the Blazers' defense couldn't really stop it. So I think turnovers are number one, and I think it goes from there. I think defensively, if they can minimize the turnovers and minimize those transition opportunities, I think we'll have a much better game tomorrow night than we had on March 2nd.
All right, one final thought. You've obviously up close and personal and following this league seen the possible first-round opponents should the Blazers, in fact, make the playoffs. As we speak now, it would be Oklahoma City. Let's say things hang on as they are. Till last night, OKC was the hottest team in the NBA. The Thunder took 2 of 3 from Portland, both blowouts, including 2 weeks ago. Portland, OKC in a series, how tough a matchup, how legit a shot you think the Blazers would have?
I think they would definitely have a better shot than they would against the Spurs or the Warriors, but I don't think it's I don't necessarily think it's a good shot. Westbrook and Durant, that I feel like you don't even need to go that much farther, but Serge Ibaka is a major factor around the basket, but I would like to see the Blazers with the team that they're starting now, with Mo Harkless in the starting lineup. I would like to see that team against Oklahoma City, and I think it would be a good series. I think the Blazers could get a couple of games. I don't think they could win, but I think they could win a couple of games against Oklahoma City for sure.
All right, so as the fact that I'm a diehard, lifelong Knicks fan and I hate everything Boston, I'm not asking you to do anything tomorrow night, but would you shoot the Boston bench a dirty look for me at least?
I think I can do that.
I appreciate it. Hey, follow this guy on Twitter at Blazer Banter. Great job covering your Trailblazers for the Columbian. Hey, enjoy the stretch run, and we'll catch up with you during the playoffs, Eric. Thanks a lot, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, take it easy.